you have been named to the Smithsonian Institute's Native American Repatriation Review Committee. How did that come about?
So there was a tribal council member who nominated me and proposed the nomination to the tribal council, and the tribal council supported the nomination and submitted my nomination to the Smithsonian.
Give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you even came to be nominated.
Okay. So I guess for the last 24 years, I've been doing repatriation through the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. And that's the law or the act that allows tribal, or I guess tribes across the country, at one point in time it was Native corporations also, to repatriate artifacts from museums or agencies that receive federal funding from the government. And so I've been doing that over the years, first through Cape Fox Corporation, all through Cape Fox Corporation for many, many, many years. And Cape Fox did a huge repatriation back in 2001 when the Harriman Expedition Retrace came to Alaska, documenting 100 years of change in Alaska. And Cape Fox discovered many artifacts that were taken by the Harriman Expedition in 1899. And there was pieces all over the country, Smithsonian, the Field Museum, Harvard Peabody, the Burke Museum, and so we collectively gathered all that information, researched the heck out of all the artifacts, who they belonged to, what clans they belonged to, who the clan leaders were, who the house leaders were, and I learned the law very, very well. I was 19 years old, and I was working for Cape Fox Corporation as a receptionist, and Doug Campbell, who was the CEO of Cape Fox at the time, handed me the law. At 19 years old, he said, "Read it." And then he handed me the Harriman book and said, "I think we have things out there." And then I read that book over and or the act over and over and over again. And then we started researching, and eventually that led to one of the biggest repatriations in the nation by size. And we repatriated from every major museum in the country. And then also research. So I've been to every archival facility in the country to research the people of the Ketchikan area, Ketchikan-Saxman area, or Southern Southeast Tlingit people.
I imagine it is a huge undertaking, and to do that at a young age as well.
It was serious to me. I think at times I felt like crying, because at a young age, you know, I was thinking, you know, who are the elders that we have left? And of course we had Elizabeth Denny, who was alive, and we had Esther Shea and Martin Perez and Dorothy Edeberg, Mary Jones. Those guys helped tremendously. So a lot of research. I felt like a private investigator at times, just trying to connect the dots. And there was a gap of time that was like missing, because the people from Cape Fox Village and Tongass Village moved from Tongass and Cape Fox in 1894, and they moved to Saxman. And the elders that we had alive in like 1994 weren't even a twinkle in their parents' eyes, you know, when they moved. So there was a lot of history, just rejuvenating, jogging their memory, what they remember, and things like that about some of the pieces that were in their villages. So it was pretty, it changed my life forever. It changed my life.
I know, I'm sure that the act is very complicated and a lot of pages and such. Is there any way you could maybe summarize for those not familiar with repatriation, sort of what that means in simple terms?
Okay. So there are a couple categories that allow for Native tribes to repatriate, get artifacts back. So we could repatriate under human remains. We could request for those things to come back. Associated funerary objects, unassociated funerary objects, sacred objects, and objects of cultural patrimony. And unassociated objects is something like in a burial ceremony, if blankets or headdresses or anything that a clan had brought to a funeral service to be there by the host family or the host clan, like the person who passed away, their family, any of those objects would be considered unassociated funerary objects. And then funerary objects are anything that was put in with the body on the time of passing, or when they're putting the body in the ground, or if it's cremation, anything that was used in cremation, or if it's a shaman, anything that was put, I guess, in like a shaman crib, that would be associated. And of course, human remains is anybody who passed away. And then sacred objects could be any items that are used by head clan leaders, house leaders, or shamans for ceremonial use. I guess, say, for instance, you don't see too many of the clan hats in this area, but you go further up north, you'll see wooden helmets that you see clan leaders use. And those clan hats are sacred objects that where they're made for a specific clan, has a clan crest. Usually those clan hats will have a song composed for it. They're very spiritual. If a clan hat came out in a ceremony, another of the opposite clan would have to balance out that clan hat. Those are usually sacred objects. And objects of cultural patrimony are things like a totem pole, bentwood boxes. Maybe it is regalia that people dance in. So it's anything that would rejuvenate a ceremony or would create a ceremony for people to for the clans of the tribe.
Okay, and you mentioned that effort that Kate Fox did in, I believe you said 2001.
Yeah.
What happened to those objects?
So those pieces got returned back to the individual clans. And so they're large pieces. They're totem poles. A 42-foot totem pole from the Smithsonian. There was a totem pole, I want to say 32 feet, that came from the Field Museum. So those are in storage right now, and it is up to the clan on what they want to do with them.
So now, again, you are on this repatriation review committee.
Yes, the National Museum or the Museum of Natural History.
What will your role be? What does this mean to be on that committee?
So it's a board of seven, and the Smithsonian holds many pieces from many different people. So it's a Museum of Natural History. So many Native tribes across the country have pieces in there from however the museum obtained them. And at times tribes will ask to repatriate items from the Smithsonian. And the Smithsonian does not fall under the Native American Graves Protection Repatriation Act. The Smithsonian is owned by the federal government, and it's to preserve the history of America, right? The law does not pertain to the Smithsonian, but the Smithsonian does have its own repatriation policy that allows tribes to repatriate items back to their homes. And so sometimes they could come across pieces that are maybe in dispute, or there might be a conflict, or maybe the tribe or the Native American group cannot show right of possession. And right of possession is a term used in NAGPRA where the tribe or the native entity or the native family has to prove the reason why the item needs to come back, or how it's a long process where you explain how it was, you know, was let go, how it should, it now belongs to us. And so the tribe has to, or the native people have to show right of possession. And there could be some conflicts, or maybe there might not be enough evidence available, or the tribe needs to provide more evidence to the museum. And that is the board that would actually review the documentation that is submitted to the museum. And we make the recommendation to the higher ups on the Smithsonian board or to the director of the board to allow repatriation or to bring additional documentation to the Smithsonian to make the actual repatriation.
And I understand your term on that board or that committee, it started this month, is that correct?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
So have you met yet?
I haven't met with anybody yet. I just got the notification. I want to say last Friday. So it's fairly new. I did interview for the board. It must have been, I want to say in November. No, maybe December. There is 7 positions on there. It is made up of an archaeologist or, you know, scholars, scientific scholars. And the seat I'm filling, I believe, is a cultural spiritual leader. I was kind of stressed about it, the interview, because it, you know, I do my work with KIEC, which is I'm the cultural resources coordinator. So KIEC just last year went into agreement that KIEC will enact the Native American Graves Protection Repatriation Act. And so we'll be starting the repatriation process or just documentation for the nations here. And I guess maybe I didn't consider myself as a cultural spiritual leader. I feel like with the work that I've done over the years, I've learned unique history of the Ketchikan, Saxman, or Cape Fox, Tongass people. And I also learned protocol in some of that. And so I think that is what had led to my appointment, because those questions were very technical when they were asking what I knew about protocol, what I knew about the tribes, and what I knew about the people. Do the people support me? Do you have conflict with your native people? So I guess maybe it was in that terminology, but that's the way I took it, was like, do they like you or not like you? it's a very, it's a honor to be appointed. I've worked with the Smithsonian in the past. Cape Fox did a repatriation for the Takwaiti people of the Sonyaquan, and I've been to New York where the Smithsonian held their, or they have a storage in the Bronx, New York, and that's where they held all their totem, or they held the totem poles that Cape Fox had, and also been to the National Museum American Indian. And so it was quite an honor to be appointed, because the Smithsonian is, you know, really famous. We were watching the movie Wonder Woman, what was it, when it first came out, and they were, you know, the introduction is she's in the Smithsonian, they're looking over the artifacts, and I was nonchalantly, you know, oh, that's a Smithsonian. And my son was there, and he said, we're all watching it, and I said, I just got interviewed for that board, like, and he was like, huh? I said, remember when I told you to turn down your music because I'm going to be interviewing with the Smithsonian? I said, this movie right here is, you know, she's working for the Smithsonian. And that's the board that I, you know, the people would decide if a tribe wanted to get those artifacts back. I would be on that board who would determine whether those artifacts, you know, I'd be reviewing them. And he was like, no way, that the Smithsonian, that is so cool. So it's a pretty cool nomination. I'm very honored to be appointed to that board.
I want to say the Wonder Woman movie, maybe that was sort of a symbolic preview.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Okay, so how long does this term last?
Till 2024.
All right,
and so it's a long term.
Yeah, three years.
Yeah, 3 years. I guess maybe that's normal. So yeah.
And as you mentioned, you have not yet had an official meeting, and I'm gathering in the times of COVID, this will all be done remotely.
Oh, Zoom. Yes. We do meet twice a year, so there'll be an opportunity, hopefully in the future, to go to DC and meet. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I guess maybe thank you to all the people who congratulated me. On social media, it went viral, and that was really precious. And I'm very thankful to everybody. So big Gunesh Cheesh out to everybody. Gunesh Cheesh to everybody who congratulated me. And thank you so much. And you know what? Thanks to the Tribal Council for believing in me and thinking of me to put a nomination in. I'm honored by that. It was a real precious gesture. And Gunesh Cheesh to the Tribal Council, the president and Lloyd. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Yes. Thank you.